Well, welcome back, Jonathan. California's governor primary is on. But before we get into why it matters, you found out one of the front runners, one of the candidates, Republican Steve Hilton, actually had a character from Armando Iannucci's The Thick of It based on him.
Yeah, so this is Steve Hilton, who actually used to work for David Cameron in Number 10. He's British, very strange person to be running for the governorship of California.
From the former UK Prime Minister now to America.
Exactly. Very, very strange. And Steve Hilton was, you know, incredibly important figure in David Cameron getting elected in 2010. He was known, I think, for making the Tories more electable, making them softer, making their image a bit softer. And he was known as a bit of a guru. And, you know, he used to walk the corridors of Downing Street in bare feet and shorts, and he was a bit alternative and had some wacky kind of ideas. But yes, there's a character in The Thick of It, brilliant British sitcom from, you know, a while ago now, that is apparently based on Steve Hilton.
Yeah, I believe in government as a transceiver.
Transceiver.
Yeah, it's really important. Yeah, sure, to give out a strong signal, but you, to be effective, you've got to listen for an echo.
Could you possibly speak in plain English?
Sorry, I thought I was.
That's the character Stuart Pearson. So that's they've based it on him. That's very yes, Prime Minister. I'm wondering how much that character is like Steve Hilton.
Well, look, that is a much kind of maligned character in the show. And we know, for instance, with Steve Hilton, he had a lot of kind of slightly idiosyncratic ideas. So he talked about cutting press offices in the government and just replacing them with blogs. Apparently there was a leak in 2011 that he thought about maybe getting rid of maternity leave to boost growth. And that's kind of like this character in The Thick of It, just lots of kind of wacky ideas thrown out there and mocked.
Should we listen to the real Steve Hilton?
Especially my plan to make our state Cal affordable. $3 gas, cut your electric bill in half, your first $100,000 tax-free, a home you can afford to buy.
Cal affordable. Look, I will leave others to judge how similar he is to his character, but we will come back to the candidates. Why should we care about this race? It's one state.
Yeah, it is just one state, but California is such a big state. It's the fourth biggest economy in the world,
bigger
California.
Than Australia.
Bigger than Australia, bigger than the UK, bigger than India. It is a huge, huge economy, you know, obviously important to America, but important to the world. And it produces really significant national figures. So we know, we've talked about this in the past, the Democrats don't have an opposition leader in the way that we do here in Australia. And so it's kind of a bit of a mess when it comes to going up against Donald Trump. And often, as we've seen with Gavin Newsom, the current governor, the governor of California kind of becomes that role. They become the chief opposition critic of the Trump administration or the Republican administration. And it's just a hugely significant role if you think about the people that have been in that in governor before. So Ronald Reagan was California governor before he was president. Gavin Newsom is looking at a run for president in 2028. Arnold Schwarzenegger was the last Republican governor of California.
So it is really consequential then, whoever ends up being California governor. But who's actually ahead? Who do we think might win?
Yeah, and it's surprising given how important it is, what a mess this run has been, because there isn't really a clear Democratic front runner, and there hasn't been this whole time. There was a period a few months ago when it looked like Steve Hilton, who's a Republican, who has been endorsed by Donald Trump, and another Republican might be the final two candidates going to the runoff because of this very strange electoral system that California has. Now, I think Donald Trump endorsing Steve Hilton has meant that a lot of Republicans are throwing their weight behind him. But for a lot of Democrat voters, and there's, I think, twice as many Democrat voters in California than Republicans, they've been left in position that they don't really know who to support because there are so many candidates. There are 61 candidates running to be governor, and there is a hugely wide open slate of Democrats.
I was surprised that given the high profile that Gavin Newsom has, that there wasn't going to be somebody that Democrats would want to support that is similar to him. But the messiness of this, can we just explain that? They call it like a jungle primary, and it's just crazy. Like, everybody's thrown in. All sides of politics, and they all just compete.
Yeah, it's mad. It's an open primary. So we're used to in primary elections in America knowing that there's a Republican primary where voters can select, you know, the one candidate they want to run in the midterms in in November, and a Democratic primary where Democrats do the same thing. This is all the candidates thrown in together, independents, Democrats, Republicans, and whoever the top two in this primary are will go to the election.
To the real election.
And it means you could have two Democrats, you could have two Republicans. And I think the reason that this has been quite confusing for a lot of Californian voters is they don't want to end up in a situation with two Republicans, but they don't know who to vote for because they just want to support whoever the front runner is. They don't want to split the vote across too many Democrats. And so we know, for instance, that a lot of mail-in ballots have just not simply been returned until very, very late in the day because voters were waiting to see who might be ahead.
I wonder then if this is a real indictment on how the Democratic Party is campaigning and what they're doing. The fact that they haven't gone, this is our clear favourite, everybody support this person, and this is our clear message.
Yeah, so we are in a situation now where Biden's former health secretary is now looking to be the kind of main runner there. But there's also this billionaire climate activist, Tom Steyer, who is also quite high up. So it could probably be between the two of them. But I think it is a really good point. It is a bit of an indictment on the Democrats that they haven't had this figure to kind of organize themselves around. And if you look at California, Democrats have run it for about 16 years now. It is a very, very blue state. And in that time, petrol prices have risen. Petrol prices are the highest in California of anywhere in America. You know, there is a huge housing crisis there. That has been a big issue during this campaign. And there's a huge homelessness crisis. Anyone that's been to LA or San Francisco will know about that crisis.
Very confronting.
And I think those are really kind of potent attack points for Republicans in this race, but also just nationally. They can say of California, look what happens when it's a one-party state and you just have 16 years of Democrat rule. These issues haven't been addressed, and I think that's going to be really important for who ends up winning this primary.
And in amongst that is the power of Silicon Valley, right? They've poured a lot of money into one particular candidate, Matt Mahan, Democratic candidate. And then Silicon Valley has that strange relationship with Donald Trump and the White House. I don't know how much evidence there is that the Silicon Valley money has made traction, but I wonder if we will see perhaps whether they've made a difference or not.
Yeah, well, one of the big issues is this wealth tax. So in California, there is this proposal to have a wealth tax on some of the richest people there, and it has been hugely divisive. It's actually got quite a lot of support amongst the voters, but you can imagine that the Silicon Valley titans do not want a tax on their wealth, and they're threatening to leave the state, take their companies elsewhere. And so a lot of that money is about kind of trying to influence perhaps what candidates are going to do in regards to that.
So there's loads of vested interests. I guess we'll see results over the coming days. Do you think it's going to take some time?
Yeah, I mean, California is known for counting very, very slowly. And the fact that a lot of these mail-in ballots have taken so long to get back because voters just haven't known who to vote for, I think there's a suggestion that perhaps we won't know the final results, you know, for hours and hours, possibly days.
All right, let's hope that's not famous last words. But this leads us in terms of moving slowly. We're actually off for 2 weeks.
Yes, we are.
We're taking a bit of a break, but we will be back after that. But Jonathan, I really look forward to talking to you then.
Yes, and that's when our listeners can find out who won the California governorship.
Maybe we'll even talk about it.
Yeah.
Decoding America is a podcast by Guardian Australia and was recorded on Gadigal land. This episode was produced by Lou Hill, Karishma Luthria and Daniel Simo, who also did the sound design and mixing.
Theme composed by Joe Koning. The executive producer of this episode is Miles Herbert. And remember, you can always leave a review wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Richard Ahmed. Jonathan and I will be back in a couple of weeks in your full story feed.